Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It is your favorite podcast, favorite channel, favorite everything. Because I already know what to do. Hit the subscribe button. Subscribe. Hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you don't like it. Leave a comment if you like it. Leave a comment if you dislike it. Go ahead and follow us, all of us on Twitter. We got Matt Holder here today, so you make sure you go at mholder95 for Matt. You know, Matt always put up that good product over at CircleBlackPride.com. Good interviews for Matt. You know what I'm saying? Always make sure to check him out. And, of course, you know, at BeautyWilliams18. And, then of course, me at the Mark John NFL. Also, Panda Supplements, discount code TDL for 35% off, PandaSubs.com. Make sure you guys always go there. Check that out and, you know, get all those products. Like I said, the focus is terrific. That's one of my favorite products that I get over there. Also, the protein shakes are delicious. So if you're a working out guy, check that out. PandaSubs.com, 35% off using the code TDL. All right, guys. So got a early preseason action. Early August preseason action with the deep, getting some Chase Garbers play. Chase Garbers didn't get one rep in training camp, so just watching him play tells you how deep the Hall of Fame game goes. So we got 27-11. Right? I mean, they still looked like an impressive team, right? It looked like a well-coached team. They looked a little more disciplined than usual. But we saw some good action from them. Of course, you know, people want to talk about the offensive line first. Of course, they want to talk about that. But initial thoughts. Any initial thoughts, guys?
I agree with you. It looked a lot cleaner of a product for a preseason. They talked about it in the broadcast beforehand. I was, you know, flipping back and forth during the delay. And they were bringing up how this year it's not, you know, Zoom in or, you know, meetings. And they're actually able to practice during the offseason, right? So they were expecting a cleaner product across the NFL, you know, going into this preseason game. But, man, like, even late in the game, like, these fourth-string safeties and linebackers are still making bone-crunching hits across the middle. I'm like, oh, my goodness, these guys really want it, you know? So, I mean, it was, like, from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, pretty crisp football. It got a little sloppy at the end, though.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's going to happen with the preseason when we're unloading the bench of 90 guys. But, yeah. I mean, like you guys said, I think the biggest thing, too, was it was a team that looked like they were well-coached. They looked better prepared than the Jaguars did, for sure, which is, if anything, a testament to McDaniels, like, getting those guys ready to go. And I mean, for the first game in the McDaniels era, that's an impressive showing. And I mean, pretty cool for him too, with this whole deal with it being in his hometown. You saw the guys running hard, playing hard for him. Obviously they're competing for jobs too, so there's not too much motivation, but you know, it's kind of cool to see them go out and, you know, play their asses off for their coach who knows, maybe doing some good things in 2 weeks of training camp to get him that W in his first game in his hometown. So
possibly. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good overall performance too, just, you know, all around from the start of the game to the end of the game. I thought they played really hard. They played really well on defense too. I thought the back end looked really well, especially early on when they had like Hobbs and Morag and Abram out there. I thought they looked like really sticky, even though, you know, they're playing against, you know, who, I don't know who that quarterback was. I think it was Jake Luton at the time early
Oregon
on.
Oregon State, baby.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Travel man Jake Luton. But, you know, they still look solid out there. And, you know, to have that many starters out there and then have, like, Jake Luton out there, yeah, they shouldn't put up any points. And that's – I felt good with that aspect of it because if they went right down the field with Jake Luton and Jake Luton put up 7, I'd be a little worried. But, you know, defense is boring, so let's get to the offensive side of the ball here. Alex Leatherwood, offensive line. We all know Brandon Parker was getting his butt kicked. That was pretty blatant on everybody could see that on TV. That just did not need to be a, there's no breakdown for that. We all saw it. there's no need for a breakdown. Everybody can have their own breakdown on that, their personal thoughts. What about the rest of the offensive line? Your overall thoughts, Matt? I know you're watching that specifically, so give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I thought a lot of people pointed out Lester Cotton did some good things. Got the shout out on the broadcast. Started to see a little bit what people have been talking about in training camp. He was moving people in the running game, and he looked a little bit leaner to me a little bit. You know, I don't know if anybody else noticed that. He looked like he was like a little bit more fit, and I think that was good for him because I felt like that was one of his problems in the past, was maybe a little bit too much bad weight affected his feet. I thought your boy Andre James, he had a nice little seal on the. To spring Josh Jacobs on that big run there. So good things from them. I mean, obviously, Brandon Parker. Leatherwood, I think Mo Moten put it up pretty well. I feel like this is a game where we're going to have to watch to see the All-22 tape to really get a good feel on Leatherwood. I feel like he didn't stand out too much either way. I am curious. I know, Marcus, you saw we're talking about Dylan Parnum. The few plays I saw, it's kind of either like nothing too terrible, nothing too impressive, just kind of like run of the mill. I didn't really notice him too much. I did see he was getting some reps at center, which, you know, obviously huge, what we talked about.
Yeah, I thought, first to talk about Leatherwood, I mean, people talk about the chip health that he was getting. I thought, I mean, it's part of the offense. You're going to see that a lot. You're going to see even Darren mm-hmm. Waller doing some chips more often than you would usually see. That's what the tight ends do. Gronk used to do it. So they're going to do more chips, a lot of chipping with the running backs. I think they're going to give Leatherwood a lot of help. He's going to get a lot of help. Let's just keep it real. Like probably what he should get. Yeah.
Whoever's playing right tackle is going to get a lot of help.
They're getting a lot of help. Okay. but I mean, he had some good reps, and then he had a couple bad reps. I don't know what's going on a little bit with his technique. I don't know if that's something they're being taught. He's supposed to like hold after the chip. I don't know, but it looked a little weird, a little odd. But I thought the rest of the offensive line played pretty well. I thought Cotton had that one stunt, and that's what I'm worried about with him is how intelligent he is. I mean, that's why he doesn't play. I mean, that's we talk about things like, yeah, Cotton may have some great hands, he may work hard, but you know, the stunt happens and he's all the way over on the with the right tackle. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and he's letting the big old hole, and that can't happen in the game.
I feel like it was more than just Cotton. I feel like there was a couple guys that got caught on stunts. Like, I feel like one of the sacks that they gave up Parker, I don't think it was necessarily on him. It looked like quarterback rolled a little bit, but I felt like he stayed attached to the defender, the penetrator on the line game a little bit too long. Key was able to loop around and get the sack for an easy one. So a few people.
Yeah, and I would say, Andre James did play well. I thought he played well, too. So did Parham. I thought Parham had some good blocks, too, on a couple of the long Zamir White runs. He had some good blocks there, too. But, you know, Brandon Parker, you can definitely tell he's a swing tackle, backup tackle, I believe. I think they're going to give –
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
You can't – I mean, to come out the what was it? It was the breaking point was when he gave up back to back sacks, and what was it, the first quarter? Like one of Javon Walker when the next one by Arden Key on the next play. Like,
so let's talk about that sequence because I mean I agree. Obviously, Brandon Parker, we don't want to see him out there. Okay, I'm not saying that. Okay, but let's just look at these plays. Okay, the first one he. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, he gets an inside move, and he's trying to wash Trayvon Walker down, and Jared Stidham literally just runs right into the sack. And you see Brandon Parker afterwards, like, "What are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing?" And then on the next play, on the Arden Key one, it's Cotton who gets beat on that stunt, right? Yeah. And Arden Key flushes whoever the quarterback was, probably Stidham, right? He flushes Stidham out. And that's like that you hate that as a tackle when your quarterback bounces out of the pocket, you're trying to contain the edge and he's just running right into the sack. So the quarterback walked into both those sacks. I don't think Carr takes those sacks. There's going to be pressure, but I don't think Carr gets sacked there.
Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say I don't think they would be necessarily sacks, but the fact that like, at least in the first one against Ron Walker, he never had control of that rep. That was the bigger problem. Like if he had he could have at least anchored, then it's not a sack too. Like I feel like it kind of played in a bolt. It was a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, you have good points, BD. That I mean, Jared.
It's not encouraging. It's not encouraging.
Jared Stidham did run into the sacks, but also Brandon Parker got his butt whipped. I think that's it's both.
Fair enough. It's a team I just want to bring up the quarterback also had some,
fellas, I'm fighting a fly in here, so if I'm like doing some like karate moves or whatever, that's why. Hopefully I get it by the end of the episode. It'll be my goal.
You're good. All right. So I mean, I thought the rest of the offensive line played well. Cotton had his moments. I think Simpson, he looked pretty good, but you know, Cole Miller's not out there, so we don't know how the full chemistry of the offensive line, how it's gonna work, but you know, I thought Andrew James played a little bit better than usual, So
let's talk about the screen game. They were screening a lot, right? Uh-huh. Is that something that you think is gonna keep on, like, that's gonna be a theme? Or is that like just easy for these, you know, these quarterbacks who are not great, that's just easy completions for them, manufactured completions for them? What do you think?
I think it'll be both. I mean, it's in this game, you want to work on those screens. It's perfect time to work on them, right? But I would expect that. I mean, you saw Josh Jacobs and Zamir White in the open field, so I would expect more of that, you know? Zamir White looked really good today. I thought he, looked a lot faster on tape than I saw in college. I thought he had showed a lot of bursts. You know, looked like he ran a 4.4 or whatever he ran at the combine, right? You know, on tape he didn't look like that much, but I mean today he did. He looked like he ran a 4.4, looked like he had a lot of bursts. Him and Jacobs looked pretty, they could be a good 1-2 tandem, man. Right? And I know people are freaking out a little bit because Jacobs is out there, but I will
every
say
every back got to carry, right? Every back
right.
got to carry.
But I will say that, you know, Tom Brady, I think I said this before, but Tom Brady plays like 2 preseason games like with the Patriots. He played a lot. He always did till he was like 4. I mean, he played a lot in the preseason. So it's just, I think that's kind of the thing they do. They're old school a little bit with some of these things. And Josh Jacobs is getting full on carries in the first preseason game Hall of Fame. You know,
and more than, the one thing I was surprised though is I thought, I'm like, I figured he played like 1 series, maybe 2. I think he was in there for like 3, which is a little bit surprising, but
yeah. And it's weird because it's the Hall of Fame game, but my thing was, okay, the first team offensive line still out there though. It wasn't like he was out there without they started putting Horace Grassu out there. It would be different. Like, oh, that's what I was like, okay, Jacobs is right behind Alex Bars. That's
that would have been very strange. Very strange.
Yeah.
That would have been like, okay, there's a problem here. By the way, I had there's this comment right here. This is the comment of the day so far.
The offensive down, that's great.
Look, if you got some more heat like that, all right. Bless the comment section with more heat like that, please. All right. So let's move on. Can we talk about defense? I know it's boring. we didn't have great angle this broadcast. You know, some broadcasts you can see a little bit more of the secondary. This is, you know, pretty condensed view. So I gotta wait for the All-22 to come out. I don't have a good grasp of like what was going on in the back end. What I will say about that though is I did see the corners stay in and play a lot of cover 2. Just by their technique on the screen, I could tell the defense was in cover 2. So I saw a lot of cover 2. That was like the predominant zone that I saw. That was definitely expected just based off Patrick Graham's history. And then the other thing that I noticed was a lot of man alignment. Like it looked like they're in man, right? Mm-hmm. But then after the snap, they're dropping to a zone. So some disguise and that definitely aided the defense getting off the field and holding the Jags to no points until the fourth quarter or whatever it was when they finally scored. A lot of disguise. It was definitely making those quarterbacks hold onto the ball, escape, throw the ball away. Like they were having a hard time out there because the coverage was a little tricky, I would say.
Yeah. I see a question about Gillespie. Did you see Gillespie, anything stand out to you? BD, did you see any, notice anything?
You know, at first I was like, "Wow, yeah, that was a good shot that he threw in there." But then everyone, Farley, Cosby, you name it, everyone was throwing their body around in there. So I wouldn't say he like stood out to me, because a lot of these guys were flashing, you know, to be quite honest with you. It's actually really encouraging to see that far down the depth chart playing with that intensity. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty encouraging. But Gillespie included with that. Yeah, for sure.
I think Cosby had back-to-back plays where he had a TFL and then a PBU to force a punt at one point in the game on one drive. Yeah. I think he was kind of up and down, but he was going out there. He was playing like he had nothing to lose, playing with his hair on fire, which you love to see from a young safety.
Yeah. Is he rookie?
Yeah. Yeah. Ball State.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. The Darius Phillips was the starting nickel. And to start off the game, he's one who, you know, threw the shot and the guy who lost the fumble that got scooped up by I think it was Jayon Brown. I believe that play counted, right? Because there was another fumble that didn't count.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the one you're thinking of, the one where he hit the guy and he like landed the ground caused it. He like had the big hit to come and rally.
Maybe
he punched one out. He punched one out later in the game. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, around the ball. Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but everyone in the secondary, really, they were around the ball. They were trying to, it looked like, you know, maybe forcing fumbles seems to be a point of emphasis or something like that, because we saw a lot of loose balls. Could be just preseason week one, too, right? For Jacksonville. So we'll see if that continues to be a theme. Matt. Let me ask you about the fronts. Like, were you seeing anything that caught your eye? Like, any a particular player or alignments that were interesting to you?
Well, I think one of the first things was, you know, we kind of talked about it before, or we talked about it not being as big of a deal. They actually get lined up in the old 3-4 odd front with five guys across for a lot of the game, which I was surprised about, just from judging off of Patrick Graham's history of running so much nickel. Again, maybe that has to do with the personnel and everything, or it being early in the install part. But I mean, the guy that stood out the most, I think probably everybody saw, Malcolm Kuntz. He had a hell of a game today. I thought there was even one play I tweeted out where quarterback ended up rolling right, but he put in the tackle on skates, went into the outside, added a batted pass. Like, he had a heck of a game. He probably had four or five pressures, I feel like, on limited snaps. And I said, like, he was a guy that was really to me one of the MVPs on defense for the night. Like, I thought he was one of the biggest stars, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought he had a really good night. I thought he was especially on the stunts, man. He was working those stunts, and he was winning on the outside. I thought he had a really good night. I tried to watch some of the defensive line because, you know, I'm a Neil Farrell fan. I thought Farrell, he didn't play that well tonight.
Yeah, he just kind of seemed like – every time I watched him, it just seemed like he was almost – it almost seemed like he was gassed at times. Like, there was like
his
effort wasn't quite there.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. That's how I felt about him. I see a lot of people talk about Kendall Vickers. You know, Kendall Vickers had a pretty good day, but, you know, I don't know how much I want Kendall Vickers playing every single down, you know. But I thought Matthew Butler had some good pass rushes, but then sometimes he didn't. He did win one time. I thought he won really quick and got into the backfield that I saw, but he didn't win that much after that, right? So, you know, those young guys were okay.
Who are you talking about? Vickers?
Butler.
Huh? Oh, Kendall Butler. Vickers? Oh, Butler. Oh, no. Butler. Okay.
Yeah. Butler. But, I mean, some of the guys behind him, I can't, I'm not, the guy Myron, I'm not going to try to say his last name, 69. I thought he had a pretty good game playing inside, but he's undersized. You know, it's going to be interesting to work out how the defense tackle, man.
Other guy that stood out to me was Kyle Pecco. I was getting him confused with Neil Farrell because I thought Farrell was wearing 92. I still got to get used to the numbers. But Kyle Pecco, I felt like there were a couple plays where he was resetting the line of scrimmage, playing in the backfield, getting some good extension. He had one play where I literally, like, audibly gasped, like just feel bad for me. One at the point of attack, and then just feet just failed him and got sniped in the backfield. But he had a couple plays, a couple pass rushes where he did some good things and popped off the screen a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean Andrew Billings has some good plays too. I mean, those guys are, you know, pretty veteran players, so it's interesting to see how that translates into the actual game. You know what I mean? So it's a position of need.
Who wasn't out there? Because I saw Hobbs line up on the outside to start the game.
Yassin didn't play, I don't think, did he?
Rock Yassin.
So Yassin, Perryman, and then obviously the DNs, Crosby and Jones. Yeah.
Well, Nick Robertson didn't play either.
Nick didn't play?
No.
I didn't even realize that.
Is he hurt?
Him, Sin, and Averett have been sitting at practice the last couple of days. So
yeah, that must be up.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Because, yeah, I would think he'd be a guy that needs the reps. In a couple different ways. For him to make the roster, too, and to potentially even help out the team, I would think he'd be out there. But
yeah. No. I don't know. I feel like Amik, Rock Yassin, and Avery, they already have spots, so they're not going to really worry about
it. Oh, yeah. You think Amik does?
Oh, yeah. He got a spot, bro.
I guess it is pretty thin back there, but I feel like he's a guy that's going to be on a fringe. But
yeah, I don't know. He's at a fringe, man. He was out there with the DB rotation. He was out there. They're like, that's not a fringe guy.
that was the thing, too, is I heard he's been having a good camp, so I was like, oh, well, I want to see it. And then I guess you need to pay more attention to the injury report early on.
Yeah. He's in the main cornerback rotation. He don't play with Sam Webb and those guys. He's playing with Hobbs and Averett and those guys. I think he's
good for him. BD, I'm curious for your thoughts on Hobbs playing on the outside, because I know he struggled there in college. So I'm curious what you think with this scheme, what you're talking about with a lot of cover two, if he'd be a better fit.
Perfect. Cover two. Cover two, he's going to be in the mix against the run. He gets a nub tight end. You give him a reduced split. He's going to throw his face in the fan. Physicality, that's going to be the matchup. Rock Yassin can do that too. He's a very physical corner. So both those guys on the outside, I think, in base, what do you want? Why are you in base? To stop the run, right? So, heck yeah. Those guys could do it, I think, while allowing Patrick Graham to stay with two high safeties and defend the pass. So, I think that's really what it is. On passing downs, I'm pretty sure Haas will be on the inside.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gotcha. Nice.
Can we talk about the quarterbacks? Is it worth talking about?
I felt like we're talking about a little bit, talking about running under pressure a little bit, but I felt like you played well. The stat line is not great, but I feel like, Tyron Johnson, that was bad. For a guy that had a good game, that was an absolute dime that he dropped to him while taking a shot. And I felt like he was efficient. You could tell he was comfortable in the offense. You could tell he's been playing in this a little bit more than Nick Mullins and a little bit more than Chase Garbers were. Recognized man coverage, recognized that stunt, and ran it out for a touchdown. So, felt like for a backup quarterback, that was a good game.
Yeah. I mean, he looked like a good backup. He looked like a backup playing preseason football. Should look.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
He
halfway decent backup.
It took him a while to get settled in. I think he was a little antsy at first.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think they're around that those drives. When they were moving the ball, super efficient, like you're saying, he runs the touchdown in himself. He's definitely looking like he has control. It's definitely Stidham too, right? For now, at least. But I was shocked because I've seen Mullins play before, so it must be that the Raiders just have a giant offensive line. He looked tiny out there. I was like, that's Mullins? I was like, wow, that guy.
He's always been that tiny.
He always just looks like he's like a Pop Warner player out in his pad. Yeah. He's got they're too big for him. He's got the big shoulder pad and he's out there just walking around with the little play helmet that we all probably used to have back in the day.
You gotta be sick if you're that tiny as a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? I wanna see this guy doing nutso things out there, like Tyler Heinicke or whatever his name is. Okay.
Yeah.
Come on. You gotta be playing with your hair on fire, like you don't care about living, okay? If you're that tiny of a quarterback. I wanna see some Doug Flutie heroics We didn't see that from him. Get him out of here. I don't want to see Mullins. I don't want to see a tiny quarterback with no heart out there. Get out of here, man.
My favorite part was when he threw it to, I think, what's the guy's name? Was it Vise? Might have been a hole shot or just a two man where he had him on the street and just completely noodle armed.
Like, I know. Just floated it.
I literally just wrote down Mullins noodle arm on my notes. I'm like, that was a run. Just invited the safety right back. And floated, I think he was late on it too.
Yeah, late and floated it.
Yeah, that was rough.
So then what about Garbers, Marcus?
Garbers went out there. He had a good drive. I think, you know, Garbers looked like he did in college. He's good poise, but he doesn't have like a big arm. And then, you know, coming from Bill Musgrave, the language is a little bit similar. It's not the same offense. You know, people get mad at me when I say it's the same offense. The language is the same. So he has a little bit idea of what they want to do. Because, I mean, they're keeping it real simple tonight. It was like, no, there's like no peels or, you know, pinwheels where the running back's coming out the wheel or anything. It was a lot of what they call the slant flats. They call it the slant. You know, a lot of those little simpler type of, what I would say, concepts they like to run. Yeah. Right. So it wasn't like that complex that you're going to see from the season or what I saw from practice. So they kept it real simple tonight. That's why you saw a lot of the screens. Yeah. It was a real simple thing. I really did feel like they wanted to work on the run game tonight. I feel like that was kind of a purpose. They wanted to get Jacobs going in their run game and get him learn their concepts and what they like to do with their power. Try to get him used to that. They didn't run a lot of outside zone with him today. It was pure power mostly. I don't know if what you saw, Matt, but draws, power, a lot of draws, a lot of crack tosses. So
I mean, they loved their goal line play, which was pretty clear, was the pin and pull. Like that was, they scored the, I forget who scored the touchdown. Was it
Abdullah?
Zamir White?
No, Abdullah.
That's right. Abdullah that scored the touchdown. That was on pin and pull. I think I remember seeing him run it a couple times. And that seemed to be how they were going to run. That seems to be how they're going to run on the outside in the red zone and in short yard situations. I feel like that was one of the biggest things. Yeah. Like we were talking about around draft time, I feel like Josh McDaniels and the gap runs, we saw the trend a little bit with how they started picking. So, I mean, and it looked good. I mean, the interior of the offensive line, especially thought in the beginning of the game, was dominating up front, clearing out the holes. So.
Yeah, it was more about, you know, I do want to talk about Amir Abdullah because the Raiders media has just been ignoring him the whole time I was in camp. He was just out there the whole time with Derek Carr. Everybody acted like that he wasn't. And I was like, who's 22 and why is he out there with Derek Carr so much? And why is nobody saying anything about it? he's small. He's very noticeable that he's out there. And it's not Josh Jacobs. He has dreads. Yeah. I was like, am I the only person? Like, nobody's – and it was tripping me out. I just want to mention that. And then, of course, he's out there playing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, with Abdumir Abdullah, so, I mean, just going through it, Jacobs is on the team. I'm pretty sure Brandon Bolden's got a spot, right, the connection with Daniels, and he's the pass protector. Then you got Tamir White, you got to imagine he's going to make the team. So, are they going to keep five running backs and a fullback? Or would they keep Amir Abdullah and maybe Ken and Drake? Or how are they going to make that up?
See,
if there's one back,
it's impossible. Like that. Yeah. It's impossible to stash any of these guys on the pup if you don't give them carries during the preseason so they can get hurt. Okay, you want to keep everyone. All right, someone's got to get banged up so you can stash them. All right.
Maybe they should have lingered. They should have had. Kenyon Drake milk is a broken ankle. Yeah. Are you sure you're ready to come back?
Hold on, Kenyon. Yeah.
Week 7 sounds like a good time for you to come back.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Everybody's freaking out about Jacobs being out there, but like Kenyon Drake was out there with Alex Bars and Hornets Grasso and Nick Mullins.
I'm like thinking about it. I'm like Kenyon Drake, like if you look at all the running backs, like he had like by far the worst night, but I also remember him like literally getting the ball and like having people in his face like immediately. Like I don't think he had any room to run. I felt bad for him. It's like, yeah, hopefully they flip up the rotations a little bit in the next game and give him some reps behind guys like Simpson, James and even like Parham out there or someone. But it was rough. Yeah. The one thing I did want to bring up with the backs, though, Zamir White, 3 catches. I think, I don't even know if he had 3 catches all year last year at Georgia.
No, in his career.
Like,
that's a good point. Yeah.
He looked really good tonight, man. He looked really good.
Yeah, of good, course. You know. I say he had 3 catches. He also, if I remember correctly, he also had 1 drop.
Yeah.
On the, but whatever. But yeah.
He did have a drop.
At least they're getting him involved.
Throwing the ball more until he gets better hands, man. He's never had the ball thrown to him.
Yeah, he's got to get better. There you go.
All right, guys.
All right. One more thing around. Go a little round table. Round table okay. here. Last thoughts before we get out of here. Can you guys hear me? I'll go first here.
Okay.
I thought Tyron Johnson had 100 yards receiving. Didn't like, come on, this guy should have had ball.
He would have had 65 at least, like, or something like that if he would have caught the one.
He had 2 drops too. He dropped the first pass too.
Yeah, he had 2 drops. He had 2 drops. He should have had a big stat line. So for a guy who was on the bubble, not a good look.
And his sideline catch where they were talking about on the broadcast, like, I know he caught it. But I was like Chris Collins with it. I just assumed he didn't catch him. Like, dude, you got to at least like try and drag your foot on there. Like, the lack of awareness is what they were talking about. Like, I felt like on that one, that was more luck than him actually figuring it out. But I mean, he did, like I said, on that one, on the one he dropped, he did have a nice move to get open one at the line of scrimmage. He did everything right, just get finished.
Yeah, he looks really raw, basically.
Yeah.
He looks really raw, and you know, maybe a little bit too raw for how long he's been in the NFL. I guess you can look at it.
No.
You know,
for sure.
So, I mean, that's why I still, even with Mac Hollins kind of being out there and his name kind of floating around, I still think it's going to be Keaton Cole. At the end of the day, I think it's going to be him because I feel like that he actually is a fourth wide receiver. Like, if you had somebody go down, I feel comfortable with Keenan Cole than I do Mac Hollins or DeMarcus Robinson or anybody else. I don't know. That's just me. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but.
I mean, where I noticed DeMarcus Robinson the most today was blocking on pin and pull, which is great. But
he's a great blocker, bro. I tell you, man.
He is. Like, that's great. That's nice, but. He also, that's not what you get paid to do. We'll put Foster Moreau out there on game day. Don't worry about it.
What you mean? If you're the fourth, fifth wide receiver, yeah, you better be blocking your butt off out there, okay? That's what I want to see.
You might as well, I mean, if you go out there and you do that, you might as well put a number in the 70s then, huh? I mean, more power to him. If that's his role on the team, that's his role on the team, but I don't know if that's if they're bringing him in the goal line. I think eventually teams are going to catch on what's coming.
It ain't going to DeMarcus. Is that what you're saying? It's not going to DeMarcus.
It's like here, Devontae out, DeMarcus in. I wonder what they're doing.
Yeah, right.
All right, man. But the running backs had a good day, man. Look at this. Jacobs had 6 yards per carry. You know, Austin Walter went off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be like, I know he's not going to make this team, but. He'll get some looks somewhere else for sure after some of these performances. I mean, Zamir White, 52 yards. They just ran the ball all over these boys.
All over them.
I think the biggest thing for Zamir that I saw from Zamir White today is he's finishing runs. Like, he was going to be the hammer. We saw that at Georgia. Like, he has that forward lean. He's going to run through you. You might bring him down, but it's not going to feel good on the way down. So even when he didn't need to in the air, he already had the first or whatever. He was just putting that shoulder down, picking up those extra few yards. You got to love that if you're McDaniels or any of the offensive coordinators, running back coach and everything.
Exactly. But, yeah. Any other last thoughts? You see any questions you guys want to get to here? No? I think we're good. Yeah. No love for the tight ends or linebackers. Any love for the tight ends or linebackers, BD?
Yeah, linebackers look good. All of them. Yeah. In coverage, I got to find out about the run fits. We'll see. You know, I mean, it looked like they did pretty good, but
yeah, man.
Yeah.
This is already obviously a disciplined defense, so that's encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, they look like a better team than last year. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They won 10 games last year. When I left training camp, I was like, okay, I mean, they won 10 games last year. They look way better. Hopefully, you know, they can put it together and not mess around. That's basically how I feel about this team. If they don't mess around and they actually go out there and try to, you know, have discipline, and it'll be all right.
Sure.
All right. Any last thoughts? I did a lot of Darian Butler. People want to get some Darian Butler love. Darian Butler has the buzz, BD. You have to do a Darian Butler breakdown, bro. Yeah, you have to pull up the issue tape, bro. You have to pull it out.
Oh, okay.
Get the buzz.
That's what I'll do first. Okay.
Okay. Pull out the issue tape. Darian Butler, you know, forks up. Herm Edwards keeps putting out those NFL players, but we can't win more than 9 games. I don't understand it. Anyways, guys, and let's see anything else. I think we get out of here, guys. Instant reaction. I appreciate we got 300 people today, guys. Appreciate you guys coming through, checking us out. You know, too many questions, but you know, it was pretty out there. Everything we saw. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at the Mark John NFL for me, at BD Williams 18 for BD, at M Holder 95. For Matt, keep checking us out. Of course, we're going to keep putting out content for you guys in the next couple weeks. I don't know who the Raiders play next time, but we might see some Derek Carr, Davante Adams next week. I'm telling you, I don't know, guys. We might see some Davante Adams and Derek Carr early on. I hope Derek Carr throws like a pick six, like his first throw. I just want to get the buzz down.
Yeah.
I want to pick six.
There you go.
Everybody's laughing at him. Oh, my God. Davante Adams is not gonna get 1,000 yards. get the negative buzz going here. Right? There's too much positivity for the Raiders, some of this. Anyways, all right, guys. See you later. Panda Supplements. Make sure you guys go there. TDL, 35% off. Let's go. Looks pretty good. 27-11 Raiders. See you guys. Peace.
Later, y'all. Peace.